All right, we're back on the Carolina Outdoors. Bill Bartee in the winter, when the Canadian people come down and head to Florida and our coast and so forth, they're called snowbirds. But what do they call us when we go to Canada?
Wow, you got me. A loony bird.
There you go. I don't know. Let's talk to somebody from Canada and find out what our nickname is, if it's something they can put on the radio.
That'd be gringo. I don't know. Is that the wrong? That's the wrong way.
That's the wrong anyway. Wrong border there, bud.
Listen, whether you're listening to us via podcast, which the Carolina Outdoors, and we're the outdoor guys, you can listen to podcasts and subscribe to the Carolina Outdoors by going to wherever podcasts are heard. But also, you can listen to us via the airwaves of WBT Radio early on a Saturday morning. And early on Saturday mornings, these airwaves blast up and down the eastern seaboard. In fact, we say Canada to Cuba, you can listen to the outdoor guys here on the Carolina Outdoor Program. Therefore, we are international, Don. It's not just the Carolinas. And right now, we're sitting between two beautiful man-made lakes, one called Lake Norman, one called Lake Wylie. But there's some natural lakes way up to the north in the Ontario province. And we're going to go to the Algonquin Provincial Park right now with the Algonquin Outfitters' own Randy Mitson to learn about these natural lakes up there in Canada. Randy, welcome to the Carolina Outdoors.
Thank you very much for having me on today.
So, Randy, what do they call people that come up for the summer that don't know how to play hockey?
Oh, that don't know how to play hockey. we get lots of people that come up to Central Ontario. Eastern Seaboard is a great spot for people to head this direction from. We see lots of people that have cottages that have been in this area too, with the last generation before that, and they just keep coming back over and over again. So we definitely have a lot of people that come back on a regular basis. And if you haven't discovered it yet, this is your chance to discover it.
Well, in 2018 is the 125th anniversary of Ontario Parks and the Algonquin Provincial Park. And we're going to try to lower the barriers of entry into this. First off, we're way down south, so Ontario sounds like a long way away, but it's a day and a half, less than 2-day drive up there, and you have these natural lakes for all kinds of pursuits, whether it be lake camping, whether it be canoeing, whether it be hiking, whether it be wildlife viewing. Tell us about the entryways into Algonquin Provincial Park and how people kind of fall in love with this area.
Yeah, I would say most of the people from your area that come up this direction, they tend to drive. They load up the car and they head up into Ontario. If you know where Toronto is, you can fly into Toronto also. And we're only 2.5 hours north of Toronto, so we're not that far into central Ontario. It's quite easy to get to. The roads are really great and everything. There is one highway that runs through Algonquin Park through the north or the south panhandle of it, which is Highway 60. We call that the corridor. And the corridor offers some very, very introduction into the park. There's car camping. There's a museum and a visitor center and an art gallery in that. Lots of day hiking trails and that. So a very soft entry, but the real heart of Algonquin Park is what we call the backcountry. There's over 1,200 lakes, 2,000 kilometers of canoe routes through lakes and rivers and that. And you can only get to the backcountry really by canoeing.
Tell us about some of the wildlife that you have up there, because it is quite noticeable if you are camping out there, talking about the loons or talking about the bear that may be there, the fishing. Talk to us a bit about that.
Yeah, so Algonquin Park is a wildlife preserve. It was established to protect the forest that's here and also the wildlife in that, and to stop development in the area 125 years ago. That's evolved quite a bit now. It's a multi-use park. So people, usually the first reason that people come is just to get out of the city into the wilderness and experience the wildlife that we have. We have lots and lots of moose in the area, deer. There's about the current population of black bear, but I believe it's about 1,500 or so black bear in the park. You see loons and lots of different birds and everything, and chipmunks and beavers and otters and that. It's almost impossible to come to the park and not see some sort of wildlife.
Now, you mentioned accessibility, and we're talking to Randy Mitson. He's from Algonquin Outfitters up in Algonquin Provincial Park. they are, I guess the main campus is, I love this, Randy, so let me just say it, Oxtongue Lake is where the main Algonquin Outfitters location is to offset people. But one of the ways that people kind of adventure in Algonquin is via canoe. And there at Algonquin Outfitters, you kind of help people make their canoe routes. And this involves paddling a bit. It involves camping a bit. It involves portaging a bit. And that can be daunting to many people. But that's where the Algonquin Outfitters guides and advisors kind of come into play for us Southerners. You'll help us with a map, with a computer, build up our own trip. Then you'll help outfit and provision for it as well. Tell us about that canoe trail that's available up there on those 1,200 lakes and how you advise people into being able to come up and do it.
Yeah, the really cool thing with the backcountry of Algonquin Park is there's so much space and so much canoe trail for it that you literally could come back every single year for your entire life and not have to go to the same spot. It's just a very vast area. And what we do as a company, we've been around since 1961, so we've been around for quite a long time. We provide as much assistance as you need or as a little assistance as you need. So if you have all your own camping gear and everything and you just don't have a canoe or you don't want to haul the canoe all the way, we have some really, really nice Swift canoes. That's the brand. It's owned by Bill Swift, and we're actually owned by a Swift brother too, so it's kind of related to our company. And they make really lightweight Kevlar and carbon canoes and that. So most of our canoes are kind of under that 40-pound range. And they're very easy to portage from lake to lake. And that I always get teased because I say I like portaging and people look at me and go, you like carrying a canoe? And it's like our canoes are so light and it's easy and it allows me to stretch my legs from one leg to the other. What we do, though, is not only can we rent you a canoe, but we can provide everything for you. I'll tell you a little quick story. We had a gentleman that was an airline pilot from the UK. And he didn't make a reservation ahead of time. He just showed up. He flew from the UK to Toronto. Being an airline pilot, he could do that for free if there was a seat, so it didn't cost him anything to get to Canada. And then he hailed a cab in Toronto and took a cab from Toronto to Algonquin Park and showed up on our doorstep with literally his toiletry bag and his credit card and the clothes on his back, and that's it. And he ended up on a five-day canoe trip with us. And we provided him with not only the canoe and all the gear and all the camping gear and all the food. And I was the guide that went along with the group. But we actually sold him some clothing and stuff like that, too, because he literally just showed up with the clothes on his back. So it can be a complete outfitting package. And we do it custom. So what we want is our customer to call us and tell us about their dreams and expectations of adventure in Algonquin Park. And then we custom build a package around whatever they want to do.
Hey, go ahead, Don.
Tell us about the fishing along the way.
So part of the reason that Algonquin Park was created was to protect the wildlife and the fish. And we have some of the best trout fishing anywhere. You know, it's pretty hard not to drop your line in and catch something.
That's my kind of fishing.
There you go. No bonnet head sharks, though, Bill.
No bonnet head sharks. Listen.
We do have alligators, though.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Now stop the press. No, he's just messing with
alligators
us.
With fur coats.
Yeah.
They wear beaver skin coats up there, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, an alligator here is an old, it's a tugboat. It's the name of a tugboat that was used in the logging days. And there's three remains of them in the park. One's on display, refurbished. Another two are buried in the woods somewhere.
Oh, talk to us a little bit about that. Now, this is a task we're about to give you. And if people are just joining the Carolina Outdoors right now, we have Don Yeager over there. I'm Bill Barty, and we're talking to Randy Mitson from Algonquin Outfitters. And Randy, we are in a city with a lake on the north side, a lake on the south side, and a bunch of other lakes throughout the Carolinas. A bunch of them are man-made. A bunch of them have homes on them, jet skis, motorboats, all of that sort of thing. So help us paint a picture of the natural lakes of Algonquin as we get into the backcountry. How many homes are we going to see? How many motorboats? How many jet skis will we see? And how much light pollution do you have up there?
Yeah, yeah. So it really is true wilderness here. You won't see any jet skis. I love the fact that you mentioned light pollution. We actually have the darkest skies here. There is no light pollution, basically. I've had people that have seen the Milky Way for the first time and didn't realize what they were looking at. They thought the universe was ending because the stars were being ripped apart. And they'd never seen the Milky Way. I quite often will say in marketing that, you know, you can go to a 5-star resort or you can come to a 5 billion star experience. And that's really kind of explains our night sky. There's just so many stars that not only can you not count them, they seem to touch. They seem to connect together and form the universe in that. So the night skies are really, really good. Sorry, what was the other part of your question there?
The other part is I'm ready to come up there. How do we get signed up to come up to Canada? I know we have to get a passport. That's rule number one because you got to come through the border. But tell us how we get to you. And I think you have a contest that we may be able to win a trip to Algonquin Outfitters and to the provincial park.
Yeah. So to get here, like I said, you can go do two different ways. If you're quite a ways away, you can fly into Toronto or Ottawa, and then it's a 2.5-hour drive roughly from either one of those destinations to the park. It's really simple. Both of those locations, there's basically a highway that heads from the city, and then there's one turn that goes into the park. So it literally is almost one turn from the airport to Algonquin Park. It's quite easy to get here. In terms of driving up, if you know where Toronto is, which is where most people would put a landmark for themselves, we're basically just up the 400 and Highway 11, and then Highway 60 into Algonquin. So it's a very easy drive. The nice thing is there's not a lot of traffic here in Ontario and that. Quite often our highways, once you get out of Toronto, they're two lanes kind of thing. So it's pretty easy to drive here, and a lot of people from the States and Eastern Seaboard and that they tend to just load up the car and head up this direction.
Well, and if we go to Algonquin Outfitters too, algonquinoutfitters.com, we can sign up for a contest and win a canoe trip up to the Algonquin Provincial Park. Special thanks to Randy Mitson from Algonquin Outfitters for joining us. Randy, have a good one out there. You're listening to the Carolina Outdoors with the Outdoor Guys.